peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus, the crucified and the risen Christ. Today in the life of our congregation, we are blessed to be able to celebrate our high school graduates. This is the year of the Wuhan COVID-19 coronavirus, a pandemic that has been compared to the big pandemic that happened back in 1918. But as we all know, our media has been known to deal in hyperbole, exaggeration. For example, so far, worldwide with this pandemic, there have been 7.3 million cases. That was as of yesterday. With the pandemic back in 1918, there were 500 million cases. And so far, we have experienced 413,000 deaths worldwide. Truly tragic. Many of us know people who are part of that statistic. And yet compare that 413,000 dead to the 50 million who died back in 1918 worldwide. Yes, it's rough, but our world, our nation, we need to remember we have survived and continued to thrive through far worse. We have and always have, we have also had in the midst of all of this an economic shutdown, creating an economic market crash, retirement plans shattered, businesses closed, millions suddenly unemployed, some businesses lost forever, and a new sobering awareness for many that China really is not our friend, but a serious plotting adversary. And then the civil unrest broke out. Some have compared it to what happened back in the 1960s. We saw the tragic murder of a black man, Mr. George Floyd, with the cell phones recording for all the world to see. Oh, legitimate anger, outrage from all Americans, red, yellow, black, or white. Yes, because we are all precious in his sight. There have been civil, peaceful protests, rightly exercising our First Amendment rights, calling for change and transformation. But then, the anarchists took over, destroying neighborhoods and cities, smashing, stealing, looting, burning well-known chain stores, and forever destroying little mom-and-pop shops that will never reopen in communities that needed them the most. A series of health, economic, and social crises that have all transpired in just the last few months. Yes, our graduates, you are graduating in incredibly unusual times. And we read in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Why does Jesus send us out to be his witnesses, to share the good news of his saving love? What compels him? What motivates him? It is compassion. It is God's great love for us, the sick, the weary, the broken, the lost, the helpless. Jesus' love for you and for me, oh, it is far more than a mere emotion. His love, his passion for our broken cities, for those without work, for the hungry, for the sick, and for the dying, for those beaten down, it compels him, it drives him, indeed, it defines him to live a life of love in action. And therefore, he heals the sick. He binds up the brokenhearted. He sets the captive free. He feeds the poor and the hungry. He embraces. He welcomes the outcast. He listens to the lonely. And he reaches out to embrace the little children, declaring them to be first, first in his kingdom. Remembering that, I am reminded of when I was a little child. Back when I was a kindergartner and in first grade, I will always remember Mrs. Simonson. She was the sweet, silver-haired lady who led our children's church at the beginning of Sunday school every Sunday. A gentle, kind, caring lady, soft-spoken, oh, but so powerful, the influence she had on our lives. She stood up front next to the little white altar in our worship space, and next to her was this big picture of Jesus, and he is surrounded by images of children from all over the world. That exact same painting, a picture of it, a copy of it, is over in our first floor in Luther Hall. Check it out sometime. And each Sunday, he's sitting at the feet of Mrs. Simonson on our little chairs. Mrs. Simonson would teach us to sing, "Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world." And we would sing that with that image of all the children of the world, red, yellow, black, and white, all gathered around Jesus. How do you handle a world like today? How do you respond to the human outcry, to the suffering, to the tragic losses? How do you love the sick and the dying, the lost and the poor, the stranger and the outcast, the angry and the meek? How do you love this mixed up, messed up world? Indeed, how do you, in a healthy way, love yourself? You keep your eyes on Jesus. That might sound easy enough, but it takes work. It takes effort. It takes a decision. You keep, when everyone else is losing their head, you keep your eyes on Jesus. And with your eyes on Jesus, you ask him this simple question. Jesus, what would you do? Again, it can seem so simple, but if you really ask Jesus that question, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, Jesus, what would you do? Oh, he'll talk to you. And he will lead you, because he is your good shepherd and he wants to give you his leading, his guiding, his direction, his best through all the changes, through all the tumult, through all the storms of life. Yes, our world at times, it goes crazy. It falls apart. It destroys itself. But yea, though we walk even sometimes through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, because Jesus has claimed us as his own. He is our good shepherd. On our own, life will overwhelm us. But we are not on our own, praise God. For Jesus, he in his great compassion, he has claimed us as his own little lambs. Harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Oh, many people, they link themselves to all kinds of different false gods, power, wealth, physical appearance, the approval of their peers. But sooner or later, each of these false gods, each and every one of them, they will betray you. You can count on it. They can take you only so far and no farther. Then they too, they will fail you. Only one is sufficient in every circumstance, in life now and in life beyond. And he is the eternal God, the only one true God, the God who has made himself known, come in the flesh of Jesus of Nazareth. He has become our good shepherd. Jesus, in today's gospel lesson, he goes on to say, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Earnestly pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Truly, the need is great. The question then is, where are the laborers? Where are those committed to being the body of Christ? Where are those who will point the stranger and their family and their co-worker and their friends to the only one true God? The only one who can satisfy their needs in all of life's circumstances, both now and in all eternity. I'm not talking about walking up to strangers and asking, are you saved? And I'm not talking about an offensive, holier-than-thou, sanctimonious kind of salesmanship. That turns everybody off. I'm just talking about caring. Jesus is asking you to be someone who cares, really cares, with his heart, with his love, with his life. Caring enough about his world and his people so that in your daily life, in the mundane, in the routine, you are intentionally seeking to be that living body of Jesus. Be Jesus with skin on to the people that he is bringing into your life. Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. In the church, we will often speak about the call to ministry, and usually when we hear that phrase, we're thinking about the call to ordained ministry, the ordained ministry of word and sacrament. But the reality is that each and every single one of us, we have all been called by Christ himself, the Lord of the church, in the waters of baptism. Every single one of us. There he called you and me. He chose you and me. He ordained every single one of us into his priesthood of all believers. Be the living body of Christ alive in the world today so that all might see his love and be drawn unto him. Graduates, you have all plans for further education. And with the plans that you are making, you are beginning to plot out that strategy for different careers that you hope to accomplish in your life. Yes, you will all have different occupations, different things that will occupy your lives. But even though you have different occupations in the end, we as God's children, we all have the same vocation. Voca, vocal, voice. It means the same calling. We all have the same vocation, the same calling in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to be his living body. Every single day of our lives, with the gifts, with the talents, with the abilities that he has given to us. And that's what's so exciting. It's the body of Christ spread out in the community. It's the body of Christ spread out in our schools and in our places of work, in our places of fun and fellowship, witnessing, living the love of Jesus, his compassion. Where are the laborers? Christ asked that same question today. The question is, will he be able to count on you? May you be blessed. Blessed to always live in Jesus and for Jesus. Amen. We stand to sing the